Hi, folks. I want to thank everyone for your patience. I was in a different meeting and it ran a little bit over. I am curious to hear how many people we have on the line. And in this case, I'd actually like to know who we have on the line because that's going to help me guide the conversation. So if you just want to start shouting out your names, that would be really helpful.
Amanda Kosman.
Hey, hi, Amanda.
Peggy Nordgren, Taylor County.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Angela. Chris Kniep, Winnebago.
Okay, I heard Kniep, and then I think I heard Renee. Was that right?
Yes, Renee and Kiwani.
Hi, Chris. Hi, both of you.
Angela and Adam.
Okay. Angela, thank you.
Kathy Scott.
Hi, Kathy. All right. So I've got a little bit of a list. That's good. And it's possible that there are other people on or people who will join or probably some people who were on and dropped off because it was a little bit slow starting today. So what I wanted to talk about today is publishing. I'm interested in this. This is actually a little bit to help you guys and a little bit to help me. I am interested in what publishing is like on the extension side, and I'm interested in what I can do to help you all with that. And I know that you have resources to help you with publishing, but it's something that I do a lot of in my world, and it's something that I like doing. And so it's something that I want to keep conversations going about. So I'm curious to hear from you, and I'm curious to hear from people who have done a lot of publishing and people who haven't done any at all. On the extension side, what do you publish or what do you want to publish? Where do you publish? What sort of is your ideal for this versus where you're actually at right now? So I'm just going to open it up. I'm hoping that maybe one of our more experienced colleagues can jump in and start with their experiences, good, bad, and ugly, about publishing. And then we'll just go from there. So I don't know if anyone wants to kick it off.
This is Chris Kniep, and I'll jump in with a couple of thoughts. I have written for the NEAFCS Journal, which is the National Extension Association of Family and Consumer Sciences Journal, and I've also served on their editorial board in reviewing documents.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an association journal for colleagues in extension. And a number of Wisconsin people have written for it. So that's
mm-hmm.
one place to share information. And then our academic department, Department of Family Development, is another opportunity for writing and publishing that's internal to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Journal of Extension is the third avenue that I've worked with. And that has a variety of opportunities for publishing, not just research things, but also teaching ideas, best practices kinds of things. And one I read but have not submitted to is the National Association of Family, AAFCS, I'm sorry, changed names, American Association
mm-hmm.
of Family and Consumer Sciences Journal. Those would be the ones that I'm familiar with, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, tell me a little bit more about, you mentioned the academic department as being an outlet. Tell me more about how that works. What does that look like?
And Peggy, please jump in and help me. Because she knows the procedures much better than I do. We have a scholarship and research committee, actually, that vets publications. And
yes.
There's quite a variety of submissions, right, Peggy?
It used to be that you could maybe do a theory article, you know, research, literature search. That might be something
mm-hmm.
you might do. You might, of course, do the evaluation, you know, evaluation of products type department paper, which I did in with my work with a school-age child care, self-care program that I've done in Rib Lake for 20 years. And they do, there's just a lot of different options, and the committee will help you, and they will approve it or not approve it. One thing that you haven't mentioned, Chris, is that, and this has happened to me almost, not necessarily in the department paper, but I've seen it in department papers, sometimes there's more than one author on the same document. That's certainly acceptable. The Journal of, the ones I've done on the Journal of Extension and on the NEAFCS are, that were published were multiple authors, like up to five on one of them.
And with some of these, you can submit it to more than one of them. I know that there are some journals that only allow you to publish one place, but I think you could write something for our academic department and submit it for some of the other things I've mentioned.
That's certainly true, Chris. And I can't remember. I think it was when we were writing the articles on the Employed Caregiver Survey. We wrote two of them, one for a Journal of Extension and one for NEAFCS. And I think it was NEAFCS. First of all, it took a year to get it published after it was approved. Remember, there's lag time with some of these journals. And also, we could not submit the same thing that we submitted to them to other places. We had to have a different focus, even though it was the same project, who had a much different focus. And the department doesn't care about that. That you could certainly submit something to the department and someplace else.
Okay. So for those of you, I guess this question is more directed towards the newer colleagues who maybe haven't done a lot of scholarly publishing. When you think about sitting down to write something for publication, I'm curious to hear how that makes you feel or what goes through your mind.
Well, this is Chris, and I'm by no means a newer colleague, but I would say that the hardest part about writing for this is making the time to really do this kind of writing. It's because it's not what you do for the HCE newsletter or the area newspapers. It's a style of writing that to me takes time, more time, not fit in between things kind of thing. I mean, that's how I have to approach it. Even when I review the journal articles, I have to be away from here. And be away from my desk, I should say, with nothing else going on, because it's got to be written well and in a I'll call it a scholarly manner. That doesn't come natural to me. So I think that's one of the things that stands in the way of having more publications.
Yeah. And I'm wondering. I imagine that. Because you all have so much on your plates, when you think about doing this kind of thing, there might be a little bit of a paralysis because there are so many details that go into it, right? So I'm wondering if that resonates with anyone.
Well, you have to follow whatever rules the journal you're writing for has, submission rules. It's just like anything else. But basically, I find, too, that when I peer review other people's things, not even an article, people don't reference where they got things from or where they, if they're talking about another study, people forget that. You have to reference those in the document. And so whenever you're doing something, it's time to practice referencing where you got the information that you had so that you're ready to do that and use it, because these articles require references.
You do credit people for their work, and when I review articles, I check every one of those references to make sure it's accurate, and if it's a web link, that it actually works. Because people use them for the next steps in their work.
And this is Renee. For me, I think one of the things There is a project I'd like to write up soon, and you know, Peggy's involved in that too, and she's been helpful with giving me some advice about, you know, what it was like for her when she was writing articles in the past. So there will be more than one author in addition to myself, but I'd kind of like to take the first stab at writing it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the hesitations has been whether or not we have enough information yet. Like, we're 2 years into the project. I think most of our team feels like we have enough to write a Joe article, but
mm-hmm.
maybe we could wait a little bit longer and get a little bit more data. So I think we're a little bit in a limbo right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can always have more, right? You can always have more and include more, and yeah, who knows where to draw that line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also brings up a very good point, though, Renee, because there's just not one article in one project, necessarily. There are several aspects of a project. It's not just the evaluation when it's all done. There are processes along the way that you might write about.
Mm-hmm.
And or there might be a literature review that you mm-hmm. might write about to begin with. And so there are lots of, in one, what we consider to be one project, there could be several articles.
Mm-hmm. And if you tried to include all of that in one article, it would be too big and too much information and wouldn't be useful for the readers in some cases because it's just too much.
Well, that's why the employed caregiver articles, there were two of them for two journals,
mm-hmm.
and they had to be different mm-hmm. because of the rules. But we had enough different information in that large project that it was easy to change the focus.
Mm-hmm. So do people on the call feel like they are publishing as much as they want to be publishing? Do you wish that you were doing more of this? Do you not want to do it but feel like you have to? Are you happy with where you're at? How does everyone feel? I should have sent a survey out before this, and then we could have gone through the survey results and talked about it that way. I interrupted someone, though, whoever that was. Go ahead.
Oh, I feel like I wish I could do more, but, you know, it's just a time commitment thing.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, I agree with Chris. Like, you want to sit down and really focus and do it well, mm-hmm. and then there's all these just day-to-day distractions of everything else piling up.
Yeah. Yep.
So Kristen... Something that I would suggest to you, because Peggy mentioned it, and that is, it really helps if there's a specialist that says, I'm working on this body of like the caregiving
mm-hmm.
survey, and let's write it together, and partners with a colleague. In whatever fashion is appropriate. And I think that helps us to feel more comfortable doing it,
mm-hmm.
and that it's not like this great big huge thing to take on ourselves. So if you or your colleagues at SOHI know of, you know what we're doing sort of, or you know what they're doing and are looking for partners in writing, that would be wonderful for us in the counties to have those connections and partnerships.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Chris. Thank you. So there's a couple of things that I want to comment on that have jumped out that people have mentioned. The first one is this idea of collaborative writing. That is just a fantastic tool, right? It's a lot easier to do things, whether you're collaborating with a specialist or whether you're collaborating with someone who has more experience than you, or if you're an experienced person, taking a less experienced person under your wing, or if it's just a really good idea that a lot of people have different thoughts about. Collaboration, in my experience, often makes the end product much stronger because you have this diversity of ideas that comes in. And you aren't trying to do it all yourself. So that is something that I think is really important here. something that I didn't hear, and I don't know if this is something that you experienced or not, but the process of figuring out, and I guess I did hear it a little bit, the process of figuring out, well, what is the publishable unit? What makes sense here? Do we have enough of this? Do we have enough data? Or do we need to wait and collect more? Or is this something where we can talk about a work in progress? That can be a real challenge, and that's also where collaboration is important, because if you have someone who's done it before and can help you out with that, that's important. And I know that you, through the academic department in particular, do have a lot of support for this. I know that the Scholarship and Research Committee tries to do things to help push scholarship along and help provide resources and guidance for scholarship. I got a document from Mary Hoosier, and I'm not remembering now where this document originated. I think it originated from Lori Zierl, and it's probably made the rounds to you already, but it's a list of different journals that people in Extension may consider publishing in. So Journal of Extension is on here, obviously, but so is Journal of Human Sciences in Extension, Journal of Family and Consumer Sciences, Family and Consumer Sciences Research Journal, the Forum for Family and Consumer Issues, and then, of course, the academic department as well. And then some information about what kind of scholarly work people can do. So, you know, maybe it's a program evaluation, maybe it's a teaching packet, maybe it's a philosophy or an issue, maybe it's evaluation, maybe it's research. So there's a lot of different pieces that can make sense in this. So the next thing that I want to know from you is what do you feel like you need? And I'm asking that, you know, I know that you probably can convey that information also to the Scholarship and Research Committee. I'm not trying to supersede that. I'm curious in terms of just figuring out, sort of along the lines of what Chris was saying, of specialist support, what do you feel like, what resources do you feel like would make it easier for you to publish? Do you need professional development on some of this, on what the style, the specific style of scholarly writing really sounds like? Do you need to have small groups of colleagues that you can bounce ideas off of and get support on? Do you need to have writing accountability groups? I'm curious if there's any thoughts about what could help you reach your goals in this. And I'm not saying that, I mean, maybe you're doing exactly the amount of writing that you should be doing or that you want to be doing, but if you're not doing as much as you want to be doing, what sort of things do you think might help get you there?
That list of journals would be a nice start.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I think because that we're on eExtension, we get a lot of opportunities from people who say that they'd be happy for us to submit articles, and you don't really know if they're legit.
Yes, yep.
So that list would be very good.
Yes.
I also think that as we've been hiring over the years, we've been hiring different disciplines, and we've been hiring people who have taken their master's degree, you know, a few years ago, and that's basically where we started learning how to write professionally with that class in our master's degree, and I think for some people it's been a while, and it might be a matter of a review of some kind on how to do this. What book is the best way to reference things? What are we using these days? I don't even remember the book we used when I was in college, but how to write footnotes and those kinds of things. That stuff is pretty important, and we need to remember how to do that.
Okay, so here's a couple of things.
And Kristen, but before we leave that point, though, I would suggest that there are some journals easier to get published in than others, and that our association journal would be one of those, and our department would be too. So I'm thinking about some of the journals that, okay, if I look at them, they're actually scary to think about writing for. And that's not where I would encourage somebody to start if when they're writing. So most of my writing, and it's limited, has been collaborative efforts. But we worked in easier ones too, so to speak. If you know what I mean,
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Because even the Journal of Extension, I understand, is like a year out in publishing. But there are colleagues in Wisconsin who have articles in recent issues that might be of support to help new writers too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me draw up a couple things here. This list of journals. So what I'll do at the end of this coffee break, we'll take this list of journals and we'll get it up on the coffee break page. This, I think, is available elsewhere. I think it's made the rounds a couple of times, but having it reiterated on the coffee break page is certainly going to be another resource. I will also add a few more resources to the coffee break page. And so I'm thinking about, for example, this idea of making footnotes and references. There's technology that can help make that a lot easier and faster so that you don't have to sit and type out each reference and double check the commas and double check whether it's italicized or underlined or whatever. There's technology that can do that for you, so you just feed it the information and then it'll format it. And if you have to reformat it, you just click a button. And so I can provide some links for that too, so that if you are doing these scholarly publications, you aren't trying to do all of that by hand and spending time on that when you would be better served spending time on other things. I'm gonna also plant this seed with people. In my work, I do a lot of publishing, and it's something that I like. It's something that I think is fun. And I also enjoy talking to other people about the work that they're doing and the way that they're thinking about publishing that work. So I'm just going to go ahead and put out there that if you are ever working on a project like this and you just want someone to bounce your ideas off of, so maybe that is, gosh, we're 2 years into a project and I don't know if we have enough data yet. Or, gosh, I'm writing this introduction section and I can't make it. It's not flowing well and I just need an outside opinion on what might make it flow a little bit better or if we're missing something. I am happy to do that kind of support. I'm happy to provide that kind of support and provide that kind of mentorship. Because one, it's something that I do a lot of and so I have that background. And two, it's something that's really fun to talk about these things with other people. And I think that it can be helpful just to have sort of like a coach, to walk you through things, especially when you're so deep into the information that you're trying to provide or so deep into writing the article. Having someone outside look at it can be really helpful. So I'm just going to throw that out there, that that's something I'm happy to do. If any of you or anyone else who couldn't make the call, needs that kind of support, I'm absolutely available to provide that support. Okay, so other thoughts from people about publishing in general and what can be done to make it easier, make it less scary, make it more fun, make time for it.
Well, just a side note, Kristen, this is Peggy again. Some people prefer to do presentations instead of write, which is okay, but when you document your presentation, you still have to have references and things like that. You just don't have an outline. You have to have it all referenced. And I don't think people really realize that. Because this is a professional, I mean, we are professionals in an educational system, and we don't just have an outline to do a presentation. We reference all our, where we get our data from, and also if we cite somebody else's work, we need to reference those at the end of our outline. I find that to be something that people don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And they really should, really should.
Well, and especially in my experience, sometimes people have asked for the references after the fact. They want to know where that information came from because they want to look it up themselves.
That's right.
If it's not right there, if you don't have it clearly documented, it's a lot harder to send that information to someone. So, yes, I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
And you lose credibility if you don't have it also.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Kristen, one of the things I struggle with is I really love to actually read the different journal articles, but again, prioritizing it, like I find myself sometimes printing articles that I come across and then, you know, stuffing them in my bag to read when I have a few minutes, spare minutes at home or something. But, you know, then that gets away on me. But I, you know, there's just so much great information in there. Like sometimes I feel like, oh, this is a great idea. This is a great idea. Oh, I wish we could do this. Oh, why aren't we partnering with them? And then it, at some point it feels like, okay, information overload. How do I, you know, and then I almost tune it out for a while because I don't know how to make it all work. And, you know, if there was even a filter or some way for us as, you know, maybe sharing things on FL Connection or some way to say, you know, these are the ones you should be looking at or, I don't know.
Yeah, like filtering and triaging. You know, the hard thing about that is that everyone has different interests or different needs, right? So the stuff that I would triage out and say, these are the things you need to read this week is totally different from, you know, something that you might triage out and tell other
people. But maybe someone in our work groups or teams could be kind of assigned to be the main, you know, main reader or something or the filter person to say, here's what I found and I'm sharing this with you because it pertains to our logic model or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So I'll go ahead and plug the Flipboard that I have for aging-related stuff, and I know people do a lot of things beyond aging-related issues, but I put a lot of things on that Flipboard magazine that struck me as being interesting and relevant. And so they span interest from health to financial stuff to relationships, but all related to aging in some way, shape, or form. And so that is both probably helps with this kind of thing, but then also might make it harder because I've heard that when people get into that, it can be kind of a rabbit hole where they just keep looking up these articles and it sucks up time that you don't necessarily have. But at the same time, it could be a resource to, you know, if you're on a lunch break and that's what you want to do with your lunch break, then you can do that. Or, you know, if you're waiting for a meeting to start and you really just want to absorb some information, that might be one way to not necessarily be looking through a full journal, but just be looking at some of the stuff that's related to aging in particular. And we can do more of those if that's useful. You know, I can talk to other specialists and other work groups and convince them that that's a good idea to do as well. If it's useful and if it isn't overwhelming. Okay, so I'm going to make one last call for questions or thoughts or comments. And I do want to hear from you right now if you want to share or after the fact. This coffee break is a little bit different. It's kind of unstructured and is one where I'm more interested in gathering information than I am in conveying information. So I'm curious to hear from you all, like I said, either now or later, how this felt for you, if this was a useful conversation to have or if you prefer the more structured format. That's useful information for me as I plan for next year.
This is Chris, and I really appreciate having a half hour, an hour, just to talk about different things like this, Kristen. And even though I'm not thinking about publishing right now, I know how important this topic is looking ahead in NextGen, and that we haven't talked about publishing and writing too much in recent times. So I really thought that's why I'm on board, because it's something that's really important for faculty members to think about, and yet we don't give a lot of time to it. So yes, thank you. And thanks for these short conversations. It's just nice to have a conversation instead of agendas with assignments all the time. Mm-hmm. I love the coffee break.
Good. All right. Well, I will just leave you with some thoughts about what I'm planning for next year. I do plan to, we're going to take a break for the summer because I've received some feedback that summer, these kind of things just don't really go over well in summer. But starting in September, we will do the coffee breaks again. I'm going to not plan them so far out because inevitably this past year, every month there would be something that I learned about and wanted to talk about 2 weeks later, and I already had something that was planned. And didn't feel like I could change it last minute. So I'm going to do less pre-planning and allow a little bit more of the emerging issues and resources as they come across my desk. I want to be able to put those out to you and have a conversation about them. So I'm going to do a little bit more of that. But just some things that I am thinking about talking to you about next year, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau recently put out a snapshot of older consumers and student loan debt. Really interesting report on what student loan debt is doing to adults as they age, and especially as they age into retirement. So we probably will talk about that at some point. There was a recent publication about the impact of long-term care on retirement wellness. That's really interesting, too. So that might end up on the docket. There are some tools from the Milken Institute. There's the Best Cities for Successful Aging. The New York Times had an article on super agers that we might talk about. And there are a few other, there's lots of other things on my list. There's a Sightline website that I really want to talk about from the Stanford Center on Longevity that has some good visualizations of aging and disparities what things look like over time for older adults. So these are just some samples of things that I may be talking about next year. But again, I'm going to leave it open so that stuff that is bubbling up over the course of a month, I can jump to right away and not feel like I'm supplanting something else. So if you have any thoughts or ideas on things that you want to hear about next year, please let me know that. If you have thoughts or ideas about how these are going, please let me know that too. And then the last thing that I'm going to leave you with is a new webinar, at least a one-off and maybe a series that I'm working on right now, giving you more information about research from university investigators as it's coming down the pipeline that is in the dissemination and implementation phase, meaning that they've done some research, they have an evidence-based workshop or program, and they are at the point where they want to get it out into the world and see how it works in a real-world setting. And the idea here would be, one, to introduce you to what's coming down the pike, and two, maybe open up some possibilities for collaboration or for recruitment in communities throughout Wisconsin, helping both you as educators, but then also possibly giving more opportunities to some of these investigators who may not have the perspective of the boots on the ground like you do and may really benefit from that. So that's coming. Keep your eyes open for that. And I hope that it will be a fun and interesting thing, and we will try it out and see how it goes. Okay, that's all I've got for today. Thank you all for joining the call. Thank you for your patience. I was running a little bit late, but this has been very helpful for me, and I hope it was helpful for you as well.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, Kristen.
Yep.